Wait, you know what going down tomorrow?
Nobody what happening.
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent-
Don't nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know. And nobody gotta know it's you.
So how did it work?
All you gotta do is call them or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info? And when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Dwight Strawn with Morning Blend. On behalf of the crew and my co-hosts, I wish you all a very Merry Christmas and an incredibly blessed and prosperous New Year.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, December 17th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Before we start today, because we actually finally got Uncle Sarah back in studio. Usually he's been hosting the show when I'm out, and I'd be very appreciative of that. Yes, thank you very much. Yes, I've had a number of great responses for you hosting, so that's good. We're about to start our series. I know Christmas soon starts, so we may have to skip until it go back to the new year, but we brought him back in. But we're going to have a different type of show. Sure. But before we start, we're going to speak to Aaron, right?
That's what I was afraid of. I was afraid that you bring the Calhoun, Reverend Doctor.
Yeah, he's Dr. Reverend.
That's even worse maybe to discipline me, maybe to speak to me about my womanly ways and just speaking out of turn and being,
I love that you have womanly ways.
Look at go. God, eh?
There you go.
Look at womanly God, thank you. Ways. Somebody encouraging it just in case y'all didn't know.
That sounds like a play. Mm. Womanly Ways by Aaron Green.
Let me write that down.
Write that down.
Especially the by Aaron Green part.
Yeah, with the E at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I pay extra for that E, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, you buy extra vowels?
Yeah.
Yeah, give me E.
You don't play the game, you get buy a vowel.
Yeah. But I want to remind people that next week we start our... Next week's Christmas, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we start this weekend.
This week, Thursday,
yeah. Which is Wednesday and Thursday, we start our Christmas giveaway.
Yeah.
And
trivia giveaway.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
So if you want to participate with that, you know, you can always call and say, hey, Nuri, put this on your gift selection.
Right. Tune in. It's on Thursday.
Thursday,
Friday, Monday, Tuesday.
Yes.
For a chance to win prizes from our partners.
Yes.
People who are going to sponsor the show. We've reached out to people that we've heard y'all talking about and referencing. And we want to bring some of those prizes to our audience this year.
And we have a number of partners who get gift items or whatever it is to distribute. So if you have a promotional item that you want to be listed and then want us to promote your promotional item at the same time, call us up. You have my number. Call
Absolutely.
Me up and call Aaron up and we can include that. Especially if you do pop-up. If you do pop-ups.
Pop-up markets.
Markets and say, hey, put this on your list. Let people know I sell this.
Man, listen, I bugged this lady. She makes ornate bonsai trees.
Oh, that's nice.
It's beautiful.
You think she'll give me a free one so I can give us a gift? I mean, not a gift. I mean, as part of
giveaway.
Trivia thing.
I hope so. But I wouldn't even ask her for that. You know what I would ask her for? She's make a Johnny Cake mix for traveling. It's easy. You send a boy off to school to learn. You know he ain't got good sense yet. He just get there. All you got to do is add water. Bang, Johnny Cake.
You think Ian will give us some Johnny Cake mix?
We ain't seen him, bit.
Man, yes, and we could have challenge at the joint. You could get a Johnny Cake package. And when, see, then when you go to university, you could start telling stories of the lore of the Bahamas. You could say, we are the kingdom of Johnny Cakes. And all different type of Johnny Cake you could get in the Bahamas. Because other people know Johnny Cake, you know.
I need to call those people who do pepper sauces, too, and put their business card in.
In the thing.
Let me do that. Because I know from the pepper show.
It's one pepper person who, every time I see them, it's a challenge. They always have a new product. That's why I always have a new product, you know, because whenever I see them, they always have a new product.
Good.
Every time it's a challenge.
Good. So let's start the show. We do an appeal. You can call either Aaron or I and can join in our gift giveaway during the Christmas. As we, the 12 days of Christmas would be like a week, 7 days of Christmas.
I can be honest with you. I right from the break, I cannot afford 12 days of Christmas this year.
Okay. Today we're talking labor with Uncle Sarah. Expression on what the Coptic Church have speaks on man's worth and work ethics. Also, do the Coptic Church celebrate Christmas? Because it's Christmas, and I want to know if you give me a Christmas present. Because I see a couple of these people say, because hold on, what about Gino Jennings? Say, I can't get no Christmas gift.
Why?
Because we don't know when Christ born. I said, was he born? I want a Christmas gift.
I like that he chose that because I was going to say, I don't know what my mortgage could be this month. I can't give you a Christmas gift yet.
Gino Jennings have a problem with Christmas trees. I said, can I decorate any kind
Jeremiah
of tree?
Jeremiah 10 has a problem with Christmas.
I just want to decorate a tree.
Yeah, but decorate a palm tree. Because scripturally, that is the tree that is upright. If you go to Jeremiah chapter 10, it says that the tree that you go out into the woods and cut down and decorate and put the Christmas tree stand on, that is a vain custom by the heathen, but they say it is upright like the palm. The palm has significance in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, where it talks about this multitude of people dressed in white waving palms, which is a symbol of the original crucified Savior, Asaru, who the Messiah, Yeshua Christ, who people call Jesus Christ, he was of that bloodline. So you see people walking around with fringes. The palm has the fringes, which represents the law, living of the law.
You're trying to say the evergreen tree is not a palm tree?
It's not a palm tree. It's an evergreen tree, but it's not a palm tree. They're cutting down the evergreen trees, which is actually a part of the ecosystem, because pine oil, turpentine, is used to kill bacteria, is used to kill germs. This is cold and flu season. So if you're cutting down these trees that are supposed to be cleaning the air as it circulates around the planet, then you're promoting this idea of not cleansing the air, of not cleaning the air.
Did you know that, Aaron?
I mean, you're asking me if I knew the trees had purpose?
No, but actually, if you know that, particularly
the
trees.
In the pine tree?
Yeah.
And the pine oil and thing? Yeah.
Jeremiah 10 is very clear. So for people who say that they are Christians, who are righteous people.
What about Coptic?
If for Coptic, you would have a palm tree. And so we have.
I have a tree though.
Yeah, well.
Okay.
Palm tree.
Yeah. Once I get a tree and I can put gifts underneath it and get a Christmas present.
We celebrate 12 days of Christmas. 12 days.
Just like the song.
The first nine is called Hanukkah. Hanukkah.
Like,
which is the sacred feast of mental lights, which gave way to the birth of lamps, or this intelligence that allowed for us as a people to be able to bring forth the technology which would allow for us to have the communities which are being run by way of rel cell web, which we've talked about before, the religion, the economics, the labor. So we're talking about labor today, which is the third realm of human activity within rel cell web. But you must have rites and rituals in order to base your community off of, because your rites and the rituals or your religion, your true religious identity, is guiding you on what to buy or what products to make. See, if you're following the vain customs of the heathen, as talked about in Jeremiah chapter 10, then you're going to buy a so-called Christmas tree, which is something that Jeremiah 10 is saying to us we should not be purchasing if we are a righteous people. If you're not a righteous person, if you don't feel like you need to follow the scriptures, then that's fine. You understand? Jeremiah 10, hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. So this was talking to these three groups of 12 royal tribes. Verse 2, thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. We have learned the way of the heathen. All right? And be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. It is idle. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hand of the workman with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails, with hammers, that it not move. That's the Christmas tree stand. That's the Christmas decorations. Then it says, they are upright as the palm tree. They are upright as the palm tree. This is important because when we look up this word, language is key. So this word, upright, mikshaw, and then it talks about palm tree. They say the word is tomer, and it means a palm trunk. It's talking about a type of tree, all right, that is indigenous to a particular region. It is talking about a reality of we as ancient Africans, we as indigenous people of the planet, having these, we refer to them as Zed festival or Heb festivals, which were annual festivals that allowed for us to know that our bloodline was ruling itself. So when we are following our rites, our rituals, then our economics can come into play because now we know what it is we are working towards. Now you have a labor force. But if you're following the ways of the heathen, you're always working to provide a world for them. And that's the problem we're in right now.
I got stuck at palm tree because I told you about the raccoon in the palm tree last night, shaking the red berries.
Really?
The palm tree come with the decorations. It come with the red berries on it.
Or the dates.
Or the dates, the golden dates on it. It come pre-decorated, Nuri.
Yeah.
I know a certain set of people who call a certain set of people heathens. Okay. And a certain set of people dark skin, right? So I'm trying to say, when you said don't follow the way of the heathens, are you calling me the dark skin set of heathens? Because them certain set of people call me heathens, you know, saying, don't worry about them, said we got to Christianize them.
No, this word.
So I want to know who heathens you talking about.
I'm not talking about any heathens. The scriptures is talking about heathens.
I want to know who heathens the scripture talking about.
The Goyim. This word, the Goyim, these Gentile heathens.
Am I a Gentile heathen?
No, but the Gentiles, the heathen that's being referenced here is coming from Genesis chapter 10. And this Genesis chapter 10 is talking about these sons of Canaan. And if you go to Genesis chapter 10, verse 4, it says the son of Javan. We just had Javan here, right? We had the son of Javan, Elisha, and Tarshish, and Kittim, and Dodanim. But this word Javan or Yavan, they say effervescing, Javan, the name of a son of Joktan, and the race of Ionians, that is the Greeks. This is making reference to these Hellenistic Jews, these Hellenistic Greeks. I didn't say this. This is what the scriptures are saying.
I listen.
You understand? It's talking about Hellenism. It's talking about Greco-Romanism. And that is what we have been following as a nation. We've been following as a people, which is why we don't own our economy today. We don't own our own religion today. You understand? When we put our hand on a Bible, it is a version of a scripture that is coming from the perspective of the colonists, of the British, of the king. The king is the head of the Church of England, and he and all of the kings and queens before him, they have sanctioned their version, their interpretation of the scripture, which we don't have an issue with. The problem is not the Bible. The problem is not even the Quran. The problem is the mistranslation, the misinterpretation for us as a people. And so what's happening is the heathen, the Gentile nations, because we're not the Gentiles. We are the three groups of 12 royal tribes. No, you, my brother, are of the three groups of 12 royal tribes insofar as your bloodline. When they talk about Ham, you said black people, Ham, who was the son of Noah, right? Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham gives birth to one called Mitzrayim, which they say is Egypt. Ham gives way to one called Cush, which they say is Ethiopia, right? Ham gives way to birth one called Kfut, which they say is Libya. And Ham also gives way to one called Canaan, which originally his name was Labana, which means milky white, because he was an albino. You understand? And so they know this reality because even today they have a website called NOAH. N-O-A-H, the National Organization of Albinism and Hypopigmentation. People who cannot produce large amounts of melanin are suffering from a disease called albinism, or somehow vitiligo, which is the onset of the albinism. Mm-hmm. But it's talking about a curse that was mentioned in the book of Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, where it talks about clean lepers and unclean lepers, and it talks about this curse. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, maybe last week, of this yellow thin hair being a sign of the curse. But these are the things that we've bought into. Now people will go to a quote-unquote beauty supply store and buy yellow thin hair and walk around looking like those who are said to be cursed in Leviticus 13 and 14, whereby we now are unable to actually control our own economy. We're talking about labor today. We're not able to talk about the reality. We're not able to control the realities of our resources. Because you're worshiping or revering a people who have a doctrine of manifest destiny, which says, I can use your resources better than you. You don't know how to use mm-hmm. them. So I'm going to take them from you and you're going to buy from me and then you're going to have a false economy. And that's what we have.
I was also thinking, like, we have a bunch of people here who don't understand, like, what an economy is mm-hmm. and what their role is in it is mm-hmm. even. And it's almost as if the information is being withheld from them. The teaching is being withheld from them. So I realized that, especially through the observations of traffic, that people don't understand the pace that they need to move at, to work at, to live at, to innovate at, to create at, to maintain or propel forward the broader economy mm-hmm. or their own personal economy. So I don't know what my role is. I don't know what I am supposed to do to make sure I could make money. And I don't know what I need to do to ensure that the broader economy is healthy and successful.
But it starts with ignorance. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 mm-hmm. says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We are destroyed. We are literally in chaos because we don't, first of all, have knowledge of self. So you won't understand your purpose without knowing, first of all, who you are. Know thyself, manage thyself. Then you got to learn to have a conversation with yourself. And then you can go mm-hmm. out into the world and interrelate with people. Mm-hmm. So if we're not even at the point of knowing ourselves, we certainly cannot manage ourselves.
I, like a perfect example, as you see more and more Family Island plates in New Providence, right? Mm. Like, it's obvious that the person who's driving that car does not see themselves as a Family Islander. They don't, and that they drive in like they're in the Family Islands, right?
Right.
But and they can't reconcile with or acknowledge that, but I'm now in New Providence,
right?
Where everything is faster,
right?
Right. Because I've never actually acknowledged what it means to be a Family Island person. What is the pace of life, right? A sense of self, a sense of space, a sense of belonging, a sense of identity. So I come into New Providence now, just completely sort of, it's not vapid, but it's blind, right? Mm-hmm. Not realizing that I'm a Family Islander trying to make people in New Providence move at the pace of the Family Islands.
Well, you know, it's about adaptation, right? You have to adapt to the space that mm-hmm. you are now trying to survive and thrive in, right? Mm-hmm. And so that happens because the Family Islanders, they're moving closer to the resources. Mm-hmm. If everything is Nassau-centric,
yeah,
and the price of living in the Family Islands is so much higher than it is in Nassau, the jobs are more centrally located in Nassau or Abaco or Luthra. That's where people are going to move. And that's where they're going to try to live to take care of their families. But again, the same way, that's a microcosm of the global reality that we're in. The word economy is not, first of all, based on money. It's about managing resources.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? That's why you have a class called Home Economics,
mm-hmm.
where you don't talk about money. You talk about how you going to deal in the kitchen and how you going to deal in the home. You got to mm-hmm. make sure you can manage the home. So if you can't manage the resources of your country, because first of all, you're denying that they even exist. That's the, mm-hmm. that's the first fallacy, right? And then the resources that you do acknowledge, the sun, you know, you have a radio station that says only the sun covers the Bahamas better than them. But we're not tapping into that sun. Mm-hmm. So we're now paying for fuel and fuel charges, which unfortunately, you know, has become a criminal enterprise in this country because people are literally suffering and struggling just to keep their lights on.
In fact,
in one of the most sun-baked places on the planet, we're not managing our resources, and so we struggle economically, and then the labor pool suffers.
And let's just add to that. I know we can transition, Nuri. Think about this. We live in an archipelago, the largest in the region, surrounded by water. It's 2024. I'm 48 years old. Mm-hmm. And the vast majority of us don't own boats, can't build a boat, can't build a raft.
Yep.
What would our economy look like if we were boat people instead of car people? Right. Who convinced us or who allowed us to sit in the belief that we are car people as opposed to boat people and ocean people?
We're following the ways of the heathen. Remember now, our national sport used to be cricket.
Mm-hmm.
Why? We don't play cricket. The people who came here and oppressed us played cricket. So mm-hmm. we are making a step towards being on the waters by making our national sport now regatta.
Sloop sailing.
Sloop sailing, right? Okay, we're sloop sailing. Thank you. Right? And so I applaud, you know, the people who are seeing the vision of us starting to move in that direction where now we're seeing the importance of being on the water, celebrating being on the water. But you can't get on the water unless you could swim.
Mm-hmm.
So you best learn how to swim. We need some swimming instructions to be a part of our discussion on being on the water, because you can't get to the resources, the fish, the conch, the whatever.
You cannot manage the exactly. major resources from a car.
Yeah. No,
I think Aaron Green's call it decolonization.
Yeah.
Should be lobbying for the government.
Ministry of Decolonization.
Ministry of Decolonization.
If we're serious. Purposefully. If we serious. You see what I'm saying? I mean, the symbolic gesture of throwing the mace out of the house. Okay, that's where we're at. We can do that, right? But what about the symbolic suggestion of just keeping it out of the house, period? Why we even need it in there? You'll say it's symbolic. It ain't symbolic to us. We're not taking all those sitting MPs don't take an oath to the Bahamian people. They take an oath to the king, his heirs, successors, and forevermore.
And that mace.
And the mace. So and that's the speaker's mace.
Mm-hmm.
It's brother Lincoln Bain was on a show last night talking about educating us about the mace. But the reality of the situation is that we still are so destroyed because of this lack of knowledge of self that we don't think that we have the wherewithal to actually run our own affairs and not just depend on other than self and kind.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier on Aaron's show, on the clock, we were talking about the transition or the lobby of our government. And I wanted to put in a biblical response to from the Coptic Church as a kahoon there. The government is lobbying or making a transition to move from a monthly payment payroll system
mm-hmm.
to a bi-weekly payroll system. I was asking Aaron Green earlier why. Simple question of why. She gave me a reasonable response based on a newspaper article.
Mm.
Right, and I gotta have her do that response again, so you can actually have a response. Mm-hmm. This is my concern. Employers and employees have a business contract.
Mm-hmm.
Employees work their labor, right, and the employers pay them on time
upon the contractually agreed payment date.
Yes. And we can do that again, contractually agreed, right? Mm-hmm. If I go to a job and apply and you put it for me, I will be paying you weekly. Or I'll be paying you bi-weekly or monthly or whatever it is, quarterly or whatever it is. And I must agree to it. Or I must do a counter offer and say, no, I need my money every week in order to do my bills, right? And then there's an agreement between the two, right? And we move forward in that agreement. And when that agreement is being changed, it has to be surely mutually agreed upon.
Mm-hmm.
Or is that not important in terms of employer-employee relationship?
It's extremely important. First of all, as soon as you begin chipping away at one of the terms of a contract, right, you weaken the whole contract. First of all, it's extremely important. If you're supposed to pay me on the first, pay me on the first. That's what you've agreed to. And then I begin doubting you. See, because you're carrying on like my Grammy. My Grammy could tell me, I gonna have your money for you on Monday. And then she could ignore me for a month and call me and say, child, if you only know what was happening in my house, but you don't come and see me, so you don't know. So don't get mad I was late with your money. She could tell me that. You, right? I see y'all want to talk with the second.
No, go ahead.
The second thing is that you, the broader society, have created services, systems, and protocols, right? And so now you're telling me that you want to direct deposit my check And the people who I owe money to, they say, look, I want to take the money out of your account as soon as it gets there. I don't want to trouble you. You don't have to come and see me. Mm-hmm. Let's do this little direct payment thing, right? So if I am set up to be paid on the first and my bills are set up to be extracted from my account, say an hour after it hits the account, when you pay me late, then I go into overdraft, right? I then am now late on all of these other financial obligations because I do the work. You supposed to pay me on this date. They did the work. I supposed to pay them on this date. My agreement with them is based on my agreement with you. I know the money's coming in on the first, so I could pay you on the second.
So, yeah. So essentially, I don't think it's what is being done, but how it's being done. Because, like you're saying, there are already, systems that have been set up in relation to a monthly pay. So mm-hmm. if you're going to change the monthly pay, you have to change these other systems surrounding the monthly pay, right? Scripturally speaking, however, right, when we look at this idea of being paid, Matthew 6:11 says, give us this day our daily bread, right? Give us this day. This word they use for a day, they say it's the word semiron. And of a presumed compound, it talks about this day or night. Now, pay me now. Pay me, oh, pay me what you owe me. Right? What is that really? What is that really saying? It is saying that when we as a people have a properly managed economy and resources, that our payment, just like if you were in a hunter-gatherer society, when you go out to work, which is you hunting, and you catch whatever you catch, that's your pay that day. When you are domesticating plants, when you're domesticating food, and you understand if I put this seed in the ground, it's going to give me a tree in this amount of time, and it's going to give me fruit in this amount of time. That's a system that's been worked out by nature, right? So scripturally, we went with nature's laws, with nature's understanding of how we would receive what it was that we put forward, right? Here's something, though, that I want to throw into the mix, right, that I don't think we're even talking about in the Bahamas like that, right? There's a country in Africa. They call it one of the poorest countries in Africa, Burkina Faso, that just paid off $4.79 billion national debt without Western financial aid. Without the IMF, without the World Bank, without taking
no debt for nature swap.
None of that. They paid off their national debt. That ultimately is a situation where this country is saying, we want to handle our affairs. We want to take care of our resources. We don't want to actually depend on the West. You understand? Because all of this is a part of the mindset of a people who, because let me tell you what being paid on a monthly basis really is. You loaning them money, you know. You loaning them money for a month, interest free.
While they could collect interest on it.
You understand? You ain't getting no interest. When they pay you, they only paying you what they say they is gonna pay you, but they owed you for a month.
The time you worked.
For the time you worked. But we're not even taught to look at it in that way. We're taught, oh, you're going to get paid biweekly. You're going to get paid monthly. Not understanding. Scripture says, give me my daily bread.
Let me go back to Aaron.
Why? Because my Grammy say pay tithes. I mean, my Grammy used to do that. She'd be like, you know, you're paying tithes. Don't watch nothing. You don't go to church. You pay
there. There are a number of sycophants out there saying the union, the workers are wrong to be concerned, mad, to push back at government about changing their payment plan,
mm-hmm.
right? We mentioned contract. We mentioned duty of care,
mm-hmm.
right? Is it all right, flippant, to say shun, to shame employees who say, man, no, you just can't change the way you want to pay me without there being some sort of consultation.
Yeah,
the union, the teachers union said, but you're all supposed to consult us. so we can give you the best option, so we go back and forth, so we can have a conclusion. This is what contracts is. Mm-hmm. The government said, hell with the contracts.
Because we're going to keep modeling these plantations until you make us stop. We're going to keep pushing the envelope until you make us stop. Of course, what you mean, you could change the terms of my employment without me agreeing to it.
Yeah.
That's plantation talk. Yeah. That's enslavement talk. That's what your parents do to you because they think they have the right to do it.
But why wouldn't somebody want to get paid biweekly? Sure, there's benefit to them. You get your money sooner.
Which is why my initial statement on this matter is, it is not the issue of biweekly payment, but how it is being done.
And will the system be adapted entirely and holistically to ensure that everybody is captured? Don't tell me, it's mandatory. When you wake up in the morning, you'll be paid biweekly. And you don't go to the banks and say, look, we've had a major national policy shift. We need y'all to sit down and determine and show us how you will then engage each type of employee. Some being paid biweekly, some weekly, some monthly. Right? I mean, I had a moment when I went to go check on my money and all my money was in there and I had to, you know, go into the bank. And, you know, they told you have to write a letter and you have to make an appointment to talk to your money.
Imagine, see, you getting paid biweekly, right? That's say that second week, you now looking for half your pay, but all gone. Because everybody who want their money at the end of the month. And you already direct the president. So now you basically living now on half of what, I mean, you living on it anyway, because at the end of the month, you still got it. We was just laughing about it in the hallway. You said, time is the money coming at the end of the month. That gone anyway. You paying off people. So that's a logical
you have enough money to pay on.
Right. You understand? So this is really a sub-issue in my books, because getting paid biweekly or monthly, you know, that's obviously something that should be discussed with the people you're paying.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an actual contract with them, I think it's only fair. I think it's only respectful to do so.
And a number of jobs, Aaron and Unku, you can go to your human resources and explain your financial situation.
You can do that?
You can say, human resources, I need help.
Yeah.
I need help paying my bills because of my lifestyle.
Right.
And they interject. They interject and send you to whatever fiduciary person there and say, okay, we will take out this and send your money over here.
Mm-hmm.
We would move this money here and send your money over there.
Help
for you to survive.
Yeah.
For you to survive. The employers.
But then you
have that as a duty.
You initiated that, though.
Yeah, but I'm saying that.
They didn't come at you and say, I notice you running out of gas all the time. I can make sure I take your gas money out and put it over here.
Yeah, but see, I want to know if our government has such a system. It's being the largest employer, right?
Well, that's a good question.
Do they have a duty of care to the employees who are dedicated to making the Bahamas work?
See,
to say, we will help you.
Yeah.
I understand you have some issues, but we will help you by making these things.
Grammy understood. Right? Grammy understood that his one uncle who he could work hard, you know, and he could make plenty money, you know, but his head ain't that good. And if he catch a drink at the wrong time, all the money could be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Grammy will say, look here, go with him to work, put the money in my account. This is account. Put the money in.
Okay, I'll give you a real world example.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Samuel L. Jackson. He said this publicly. He don't get his money. His wife is getting his money. She gives him an allowance.
Mm-hmm.
He plays golf and he lives the life that he wants to live. But his wife manages his money. That's the arrangement they have.
And remember, he was a former. He has recovered from substance abuse and addiction.
And he understood that. And she worked with him. She worked to get him out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why some people prefer to get paid monthly because the issues they have. They don't have access to money till the end of the month. And by the end of the month, all the bills take out. So whatever leave, they can play with that.
Mm.
But if you get it weekly. But anyway, let's go to the call. We have all kinds of people calling. But see, I still do not understand the reasoning for why government is changing.
So they haven't put out a reason?
The only thing that they have a new accounting system.
Oh, okay.
And so that cannot be the reason.
The reason is that it's more efficient, it's more effective.
For who? And let's talk.
But the workers is what they say.
But let's talk about that.
On, right.
After these calls, we can talk about it. See,
call it rain.
In the hotel industry, right, they move from weekly to bi-weekly for a reason. They're saying they had all kinds of different expenses. Like every time they send the money to the bank weekly, all the different fees have to come out, and they're paying four different fees by the end of the month.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The government pays one fee now because it's only at the end of the month. The idea is going to buy weekly. Now they're paying two fees because they still got to pay to transfer the money to the various accounts. I'm saying, why is government occurring or accepting this new cost? Surely, they need to do an explanation on that.
We need, colleague, come right now. We need a position paper from the financial ombudsman, Miss Hyla. Miss Hyla Ambrosia, I think her name is Ambrosia.
And show
Hyla.
The benefits of it. Let's go to the caller. Yeah. But see, that didn't happen. And then when you ask a question, you get that flippant response saying, how dare you ask
again,
such things?
And what you're doing is how you're doing.
You ever had a job? How you could ask me them questions?
Yeah, you should be glad I gave you money.
Good morning, back. Caller.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
It seems like we're talking about communal wealth on the overall scheme of things. Mm. And whatever happened to the Penny Savings Bank? I heard that was one of the biggest community banks, more successful. Nothing. But when we talk about wealth, you know, I heard about country to paying off their debt. I heard about discrepancy with the payers and tithes. I think it's only about $10,000 to charter a bank. Go to the central bank, you charter a bank, you get insurance, you get the shareholders.
How much is the insurance? I just have to insure the $10,000 or what?
Yeah, well, I think it's $50,000 per account, but then you'll have a group life insurance or group insurance when you issue accounts to the account holders and loans and so on and so forth. But the basis of it is most Bahamians own their property and they own their mortgage, and it's paid off. That's equity.
You forget about property. You forget about real property tax now, eh?
But that's over $300,000 per property. Most of the properties in the city are about $250,000, $275,000. And most of these properties, like I said, are mortgage-free. So why don't we as a community pool our resources, have a group of honorable shareholders like yourself, Anku, CA, and a few other people.
Good. I'm glad you didn't call my name.
Yeah.
No, don't call my name.
And give an incentive for these over-the-hill communities to put their property as equity to pool and to get banks started for communities so we can give out small loans, so we can cure these ailments of poverty,
I think,
small grants and stuff like that. I mean, it's not difficult. We just need to put our heads together and stop looking.
So what do you think about the credit unions? Because I know people who have started. I know, you know, I remember when God rest there, John Lee Ferguson was alive. He came and he spoke to our church about how the teachers' credit union was formed. And basically, yeah, they had that same conversation.
I'm glad you asked that. Well, the credit union, pretty much, I wouldn't say, they focus on a certain industry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I didn't mention that.
Okay.
So you have to be a teacher to be a part of credit union. You have to be
But you have different types.
Hotel and government.
There's all kinds.
All
and you
kinds
could
of
start,
union.
You could start
police
one
credit
for
union,
your particular
nurses
constituency.
Credit union.
Yeah, I understand. But I my focus is the inner city community where most of the people are unemployed or underemployed. They still have equity. These things can be monetized. So
okay.
We could start
we
off
need
some
someone to spearhead that with sense.
Yeah, exactly. That's
I don't have no sense. So he ain't going to be me. He ain't going to be me.
If you find a person, an honorable, loyal person,
that's,
then we good.
That's the
bank. That's the problem.
That's the bank. So
I honorable
they all
and
work
I
for
loyal,
the banks already.
So, but I talk nonsense.
So that's why.
But it can't be the bank because, and we just had a case in
I
the paper.
I just find them and you say it can't be them?
I
say look for them.
The banks are robbing us. We just had somebody who lost the case of FinCo, and it's probably dozens or hundreds of people who lose their savings, their life work to banks because they go to court. We don't need that. We don't need that legal side of bank. We need people who say, all right, we understand what you're going through, and we can work it out instead of just going and killing an aunt with a sledgehammer. So we need to take the banks out of it. We could do that ourselves. But thanks for taking my call. There's something to think about.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it. But this is why I spend so much time, you know, talking about the religious reality of this country.
You just want my tithe money.
No. Because the reality of the situation is if you have a proper, true religious identity, you understand that, first of all, tithing is the works of your 10 fingers. Tithing is food. Tithing ain't just about money. You understand? But the reality of the situation is because we are destroyed for lack of knowledge, we don't have a proper system in place. We don't trust each other. We are totally programmed to trust the systems that are designed to ultimately fleece us. It's the systems that are fleecing us. You're talking about 10%. I wish it was only 10% that the system was taken from me. Every time I put money on my account, I got to get hit. Money coming off my account, I got to get hit. It's way more than 10%.
The money come yet, you got to pay a fee.
Right. So when we... This has to be a holistic conversation. When we're talking about labor, you cannot leave out economics. You cannot leave out religion. You cannot leave out the family. You cannot leave out education, the law of the country, the security of the country, the education or sorry, the edutainment of the country or the politics of the country, the rel cell web. You can't.
Let's go to the caller. But Aaron, should the government give the public an explanation on how much money would be saved, how much money should be lost if they change from the monthly to a bi-week?
For the government, they should tell us that this policy has been prepared based on research, right, and documented evidence.
And provide numbers.
This is how much money we expect to save by adopting this new policy. And if they're decent and they love God and they love people, they will create a space to educate their employees, the public service, on how to adjust, adapt, maybe adopt new things, and how this can help them save money.
You said that's a caring employer. We have
a decent and who love God.
Let's go to the callers, because they say the union got to do that. They say not them. They ain't responsible for
MOU. MOU may be mistaken.
Yeah, MOU.
LOI do believe sometimes MOU may be mistaken.
Let's go to the caller there. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us?
Hello.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning to the crew, Anku and CA. Yeah,
listen. Good morning, brother.
Firstly, they don't want you to have a family, Anku, because you see what they're promoting. And so, as it relates to what the gentleman was saying, the last caller, it's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll juxtapose that with generation of property on Rhode Island. They're just sitting there waiting to be conquered by some investor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Land molester. Now, I wanted to touch on, because I thought Aaron had answered him correctly, because the Bahamas Island Cooperative Credit Union, I joined them a couple of weeks ago, and so there was great scrutiny. But after reading the benefits, it really, really was really, really tremendous versus the money sitting in the bank. So the last caller, I thought he should know that, but he doesn't realize the power and the influence of the bankster gangsters or the gangster banksters. I don't think he really understands what's going on in the world. Most of us don't. And so somebody should have a duty of care to educate the public. I was talking to my little brother the other day, and he had some mutual fund. He was telling me about it, and he told me about the interest that he's gathering from it. It was unbelievable. And so these are the type of things we need to know. But you know, it's really amazing that, like Uncle said, it's ignorance, even on my part. You don't know everything, and they're not teaching you these things in schools, et cetera, et cetera. But I wanted to relate this to Uncle, that something that he spoke on earlier, on the religious part of the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't going to take too long, but I said a word, Jokshan. Is that the son of Abraham, Anku?
You mean
Jokshan? You think you said Jokshan? Did you say the word?
Joktan. That was in Genesis chapter 10, verse 6.
Right, but I saw a mistake. I thought it was the son of Abraham, because I was just wondering, since the Bible is so reliable, why they only talk about Ishmael and Isaac, and then basically from Isaac you get Jacob and Esau. They don't mention the six other sons of Abraham. So I just hung up and listened. I mean, I just thought it was, I don't know.
But that's, again, a part of the ignorance. To understand your bloodline and to understand the habits of your bloodline is a part of knowing who you are, knowing your purpose, and, again, knowing how to actually deal with finances, how to deal with labor, how to deal with the resources of your country. If we aren't serious about knowing who we are as a people, you studying history, but you ain't studying your history, you're not studying your story, then you're going to keep mimicking people who ultimately have systems in place for them. And that's why they keep winning.
Mm-hmm.
We can take a quick commercial break here. Aaron, in your research, the different articles that you put forward about this,
mm-hmm.
did they mention the benefits to the government regarding why they're changing the system? A detailed explanation.
There's no detailed explanation.
They just decided.
I can read through and see if I could pull any quotes. But
the next thing I want to ask,
mm-hmm.
this seems similar to the debt to nature swap, when I thought this was something that the Bahamas created, right? And said, we're going to see how we can benefit. But it's a cookie cutter thing that the world has given bring to us, mm-hmm. and that they want us to adopt, right?
Yep.
It doesn't seem to be tailored for us and our benefit.
So I'm wondering, though, if this new Oracle system, was this is perhaps not tailored for us, but it's a general, broad new system that no one took in consideration that how would it impact?
We still can't afford anything but beige computers. You want a whole computer system designed just for the Bahamas?
Just for the Bahamas.
I mean, I thought I had lofty ideals. When we get back from the break, I found some excerpts from this article.
Guiding Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, we have Uncle Sarah Cahoon of the Coptic Church of the Black Messiah. Right? And also we have Aaron Green joining me. And we're talking about labor. We talk about this new policy the government is adopting. Whether they have a duty of care to educate the masses, their employees, or as employers, they say, man, take it. We'll be right back.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to
located
life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Hello?
Brenda, this is me.
Oh.
Listen, I think that this Christmas, you should really get in the spirit of things. I mean, apart from the great prices, I think your customers would like to see more of you. So I think that you should greet your customers, some in the morning, some in the afternoon. I don't expect you to be there all day. Now listen. Now, you know red is the color of Christmas. So I think that you should be in a red tuxedo. You would be saying something. Huh? Your customers would really feel like Santa Claus. Reach!
He could wear that red suit this Christmas. Sale ends December 21st.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News Sales Representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
One in every four Bahamians face some level of food insecurity. AML Foods remains committed to helping. And this year, through our Feed 5000 program, we'll donate $30,000 to provide holiday meals to families in need. But we need your help. From November 4th to December 18th, show your support and donate at the register at Solomon's, Costrite, Fresh Market, Exuma Markets, or Domino's Pizza in Nassau, Grand Bahama, or Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
This is Aaron Green, wishing you and your family happiness, peace, and mangoes this holiday season and throughout the new year from Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri. Of course, I have Cahoon Ankusara, Cleveland Aeneas III. My father said he know your people, Lemino. Said he went to school with a Cleveland Aeneas at Eastern Senior or Eastern Junior.
What did that is?
88.
Oh, that's my granddaddy.
That's your granddaddy. Yeah. Be in a set, but I man to you.
Yeah.
If that's your granddaddy. Anyway, that's my day.
You have more gray hairs.
Yeah.
I can't believe you all just slide past the best Bahamian Christmas song of all time.
Really?
That's a Bahamian?
I hope so. Yeah. I pay tax. That's a Bahamian song, right?
Yeah.
I pay tax to hear that.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, how you be?
No, man.
It's a beautiful song.
Hello there.
We have Uncle Sarah Cleveland Aeneas. We have Aaron Green. We're talking about the government's new policy. Aaron, my bank. I can't call my bank name, or that's a problematic.
Once again, the one who said, look, yeah, these services in the family island, these are philanthropic. You know, we don't have to provide banking services in the family islands.
They told me I have a current account. Before I had a savings account, they changed my savings account to a current
account. Without asking you?
But I had to come inside the bank. They freeze the bank account. I couldn't withdraw, and I had to come inside.
You know, we have a financial ombudsman. I think her name is Ambrosia Hyla. I think that is the person that you take something like that to, because you have a contractual agreement with the bank, and then the bank decides it's going to change the terms of the contract.
I signed it, and now I have a current account.
This current account.
So you're saying me that you were left with the impression that perhaps you couldn't access your money and unless you just submitted to their uncontractually agreed upon terms?
I have a current account, Aaron, and
that's all right. You have children and a wife. I just play with people.
They said I can't come into the bank. If I come into the bank, it's additional fee. All of my transactions done through the ATM machine. Or online, transferring money back and forth.
With your boy who couldn't get the door open with his card and then tried to berate me to open the door for him. So I supposed to let him in and he could hear and see everything I'm doing, yes, even though his card didn't work?
My thing is, I get one of those people who get paid bi-weekly, right? Mm-hmm. I have fees that comes with my bi-weekly payment, withdrawing money to transfer money, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. With the government, they get fees for when they withdraw money at the end of the month. Mm-hmm. But when they get paid bi-weekly, now they have two sets of fees.
Mm-hmm. The fees, right. I think, is a big, big discussion.
And you know that the Progressive Liberal Party, the government, has mentioned fees.
Two separate things.
Yeah, the predatorial, especially the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party, the predatorial.
You mean the MP for Fox Hill? I don't think he was speaking as the chairman of the PLP. He was speaking as the MP for Fox Hill. And I want to make that distinction.
I get confused because he could be in foreign affairs.
He was definitely not the Minister of Foreign Affairs.
It all depends on that day. Mm-hmm. But the point is he spoke on it, saying mm-hmm. predatorial aspects of the banks, right? And now I'm thinking with the government changing its policy on how they payment, surely their employees now are now subject to additional fees.
Yep.
And I said, who is taking any consideration of that? That I already only making $250.
We got to address the fees.
Right?
Well, you know,
they ain't addressing the fees.
That's my point, though. We got to address the fees.
Will you invite the financial ombudsman on the show so that we can put the questions to that office?
What ministry she fall under? That's Halkidas?
I'll tell you what I do. I call the cabinet secretary. Office, mm-hmm. and I just asked him there. You ever tried calling the government ministry recently?
You need to have their WhatsApp numbers, man. You don't call the office.
You got to call them on TikTok because the phone systems don't be working like
that.
They
be on TikTok a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mr. Nuri, we are all out of time.
Already?
Absolutely.
I don't have 2 minutes.
Time flies.
Yeah, time flies. I enjoy this conversation.
Just like our money.
I just seem as if they're demonizing the union. They're demonizing the employees without any full explanation on how will this impact people's pocket. Mm-hmm. And the government, the employer, has a duty of care to give an explanation, mm-hmm. right? To say, we're doing this because this is how it's going to impact the entire Bahamas. This is how it's going to impact my employees. And I'm going to have a duty of care to explain the benefits to you all because I am a caring, conscious employer.
Decent, God-fearing people.
Thank you very much.